Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much. I have a few minutes after 12 o'clock, so it's fine. Thank you to Shafiq for cutting his program short. But I'm not sure who's in the room, but I think the deputy president is there, ministers are there, deputy ministers are there, president of COSATU is there, and everybody else. Sorry, I don't know who's in the room, but greetings to all of you all, and greetings to the NIPAT committee. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity just to share a few minutes with you on disaster intervention. I want to break it up into two or three aspects. One is, you know, the system of disaster intervention, the mechanism and then the network that we have is critical. I'll bring in some practical examples, the KZN floods, Cyclone Idai, and just some general comments. Number one, our structure in terms of disasters in responding to South Africa has to be changed. We don't have a single system of command, and that's been a big crisis every time we've had a major disaster. We've got too many departments involved, but we've got no leader. And the problem is when you have too many departments involved and you have too many people, there's too many egos involved. And the other problem is nobody wants to take responsibility. So in the KZN floods, who's in charge? Is it national disaster, provincial disaster, national COCTA, provincial COCTA, municipality disaster management, the K9, the SNDF, human settlements, who's involved? And you could see a crisis because nobody could take responsibility. So that's the first thing we need to fix. And I've discussed this with some ministers already, that we need a clear chain of command. One guy at the top presses the button and everybody down the line follows the instructions. We can't be having a system where the province is looking for search and rescue workers who come from other provinces and nobody can make the decision. If we have one centralized command and say, okay, we've been trouble in KZN, we need additional people, we need to deploy 9 provinces, we need you guys there straight away. So we need a very, very clear system. More than anything else, we need to organize the system of response. The hierarchy, the mechanism, the release mechanism, who goes, who does what, who's in charge. You know, and there should be somebody appointed to do that urgently because egos will destroy the system and we have lack of effective intervention. And when that happens, people die. The more effective you are, the more lives you save. So there's the first element. The structure is absolutely critical in disaster response, especially the type of disasters that we've been getting recently. The 2019 floods, the 2022, that was in Durban in association with Cyclone Idai, and now in 2022, 11th April, the massive floods that hit us along the coast. That's the first thing we need to put right. Secondly, another major crisis during the KZN floods was the lack of sniffer dogs. And a lot of bodies have still not been found. People haven't had closure because we couldn't find the bodies. The dogs we have are too old. To deal with that problem, we approached the SAPS and we've offered them 60 dogs to be used, not only for search and rescue, but also in crime fighting. And the first batch of those dogs will be leaving for Pretoria very soon from Cape Town. Of course, as an aside, not related to the disaster discussion, in the last week or so, we've been talking about securing our borders and making it more effective. In this panel live, I'm offering to the government and to the security services another 50 dogs with immediate effect to be given to the government for free, to be used for patrolling on the borders if you want, and I can make them available immediately from Monday onwards. That's aside from the 60 personnel, the 60 dogs that we're giving for search and rescue and other crime fighting for the police. The third element, of course, is our personnel. Do we have enough personnel? Now, in the KZN crisis, even though you may have centralized structures in Durban, you couldn't get to the other areas because the roads were cut off. Helicopters couldn't fly because the rain was too strong and the wind was too strong. We need, as part of our training, because this is going to keep happening over and over again, we can see the pattern, we're going to keep having this kind of challenges all the time, and we need to be more ready. We need to take retired police people, police reservists, firefighters, search and rescue personnel along the coast and in other parts of the country to train them and have a mechanism of training every 3 to 6 months where they are kept fit and ready to respond. A huge benefit or a huge success in the KZN floods in 2022 was citizen response. We had people who are not trained disaster response people, who are not divers, who don't do anything in terms of search and rescue. But many lives were saved because of very ordinary people. In Tongat, at 5:30 in the afternoon, on 11th April 2022, the water rose 8 meters in 45 minutes. And had the local people not responded, an entire community would have been washed away. Fortunately, people who, it was daytime, people were on the top floor of the houses and saw the water rise very quickly. And within minutes, ordinary people came with boats, came with whatever, and they evacuated the entire area to high-level areas. And whilst talking about evacuation and moving people, all credit goes to the real heroes in our disaster, the ordinary people. They arranged blankets, mattresses, food, whatever they could bring, one pot, half a pot, one chicken, but they did it. They did it for several fellow South Africans. We are a nation of resilient people who stand for each other, who help each other. But we need the system to be properly in place, what I spoke about initially. The government needs to organize its hierarchical system of response. And of course, we have the trained personnel in the different areas. You have better command systems where people will fall in line with a trained search and rescue person or a firefighter or a police reservist, and there'll be discipline and obedience. The other thing is we don't have enough helicopters, and we don't have enough functioning helicopters, and we don't have enough boats. Again, when the crisis hits the entire coastline and you have to deploy boats from the central area in Devon and the roads are cut off and the water, it's too rough, you can't get there. We need to position boats along the whole coast and again other areas where this kind of weather patterns causes major disaster. The fourth issue is communications. You cannot rely on cell phones. In a disaster like this, the power cables, the power stations get knocked out first. The cell phone towers are knocked out and people couldn't communicate for hours. We, in Gift of the Givers, we have our own two-way radio system, which in Mozambique, at one stage at the beginning of Cyclone Idai, we were the only guys that could communicate from Beira to Essequina and other parts across the water because we had that kind of communication systems. You know, and we've got partners that deal with that kind of communication networks. We need to implement and invest in two-way radio systems. They don't fail you. They have repeaters, and you can reach every so many kilometers where people can communicate with each other. Now, if you have that system of training of police reservists and people, retired people, they will be able to manage that system. The other challenge that you have is that inevitably, there are no reserves. There are no mattresses, no blankets, no system of rapid response for hot meals, bottled water. We've got no warehouses anywhere in the country to do that. And when I say we, I mean government. And that's something government has to look at very carefully. And I've mentioned this several times to several ministers and several people in disaster management. The tragedy is that disaster management calls Gift of the Givers. You know, in every case, we are called to respond, to assist Gift of the Givers. For Gift of the Givers to assist the disaster management. Even in firefighting, in many instances, there were not enough firefighters. We arranged to pay to bring additional personnel in. There was never enough water or energy biscuits or food for firefighters. In several fires, we did that, even in the one in Johannesburg last week. We did it in Knysna with the UCT fires, with the fires in Kabeha in November, December last year. Let's take that one, and I can finish off here with my 10 minutes up, just to use a classical example of how we are not ready. The fire hits parts of Kabeha. To the credit of the acting fire chief, Wayne Hendricks, from the area, no ego, understood to save the city, he needs help. He calls us, he tells us 4 or 5 critical pieces of information. My trucks cannot reach the fire, number one. The wind is very strong, so the fire is spreading, but his trucks can't reach the fire. My trucks can't get to a water point fast enough. Number three, we're almost on day zero, so we don't have water. Number four, we don't have enough firefighters. Number five, we cannot replenish our firefighters with food, with energy biscuits, with drink. We got a problem. There is no funding. National government doesn't step in. Provincial government doesn't step in. The municipality is left alone. It doesn't step in. And the firefighters are left alone. There's a critical flaw in the system in which we operate. And the politics got a big role to play with this. We look at cities and say, okay, which party is controlling the city? We need to change that thinking. Those parties, they collect, but the citizens are all South African. And we need to look at South African citizens as South African citizens, not which party they belong to. We have to change our thinking and have massive mindset change. Without exaggeration, had we not intervened, Tabeha would have been burnt to the ground. Ask anybody that they will tell you. Immediately when he said that he can't reach the fire, we sent in two helicopters and two planes at our cost. We paid people to be additional firefighters. We brought them from down the road from Johannesburg and Jeffreys Bay area to come and assist. We brought in trucks to support the fire trucks. We have drilled 50 boreholes in PE because of day zero. We opened those boreholes to supply our trucks and the fire trucks. And the local citizens got involved. They came with their buckies. They came with Jojo tanks on their buckies. We filled that. And with their help, we fought the fire over 5 days. In fact, and also to feed the firefighters, we gave them bottled water, energy drinks, energy food, hot meals in those days that they fought. They really fought well. South African disaster personnel are world class. They are dedicated. They're committed. They're part of government and they're committed people. But we need to make the resources available to support them to do their job properly. The final point, as we were walking through the malls, people came, touched us, and this was sobbing. And they said our house was about to burn, the mall was about to burn, other areas were about to burn, and your helicopters and your planes came and dropped the water from the sky and bombed the fire out. So these are practical examples. It's not rocket science. We need a better system. And I want to make a proposal or a request to government. Park off 1 billion rand in a fund controlled by Treasury, the returns of which can be used for disaster intervention. Because the reality is, since the tsunami of 2004, the number of disasters are increasing and the frequency and intensity and the degree of destruction is increasing. So we need to consider those proposals. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Thank you very much for talking to you. And we can always share ideas at some other point. And I wish you all the best and all in this conference.